guests for you. We have Wisconsin DNR Division of Forestry Chief Forester, Heather Berkland. Heather, hi. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you with us. And also from the Division of Forestry, DNR Forest Regeneration Specialist, Jeremiah Auer. Jeremiah, welcome.
Good morning, Larry. Thank you.
Great to have you with us as well. So as you listen to these two experts talk, I hope you'll join in. What would you like to know about how the state manages forest areas? Do you have questions about urban forestry? Have you participated in a reforestation effort of some sort? How'd it go? Love to hear from you. Give us a call. The number's 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. Ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Well, Wisconsin celebrating Forest Appreciation Week right now, and part of the celebration included the governor announcing the state would be involved in the Trillion Tree Movement. Tell us about that, Heather.
Yeah, great. Well, we were lucky to have Governor Evers sit as a member on the U.S. Stakeholder Council for the Trillion Trees effort. So just having that representation and putting Wisconsin on the map, I feel it has been really an important piece going forward. And it's really about leveraging trees and forests, the important critical solution in helping us mitigate climate change efforts. And so being able to kind of pledge kind of three areas: conserving trees, planting trees, and supporting actions for those efforts, such as kind of technology and nursery. So it is a lofty goal of planting.
Yes.
Yeah, 75 million trees in the next 10 years, of which is both rural and urban trees, as well as conserving and making sure that we are keeping our forests as forests, potentially connecting land bases to have that contiguous forest ownership. So that's where we're at with the pledge and the movement. And it's really about partnerships, getting interested, and also empowering and mobilizing that global community to conserve and restore and make sure that forestry and the importance of trees continues to be in the forefront.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Jeremiah, tell us what your position is like. what does a person who's a forest regeneration specialist do?
Yeah, it doesn't really roll off the tongue all the time. but yeah, so a regeneration specialist, at least the position that I'm in, I work within the Division of Forestry, obviously, and I'm in the reforestation program. And part of my job is I really enjoy it. I have a lot of things that I get to do. So right now I'm actually down in Boscobel assisting with the nursery. And we are sending out seedlings across the state to landowners and public and private. Other parts of the year, I work in collecting seed. I don't do all the collection myself. I kind of coordinate that because we have to be able to grow trees from seed. And we got to be able to get that seed. So that's part of it. And I do a lot of the outreach and education. So all the different publications and that kind of stuff, I tend to play a role in working with those. And I'm just part of a team. But, yeah, it's a lot of fun. And it's a variable position, believe me.
Variable. Well, I think we've got a variable question coming up here from Elizabeth in Ellison Bay. Elizabeth, what's on your mind?
Hi there. Well, I have two different things. So one thing that was just sparked as you were talking is an article I read recently about some forests that they discovered some areas in the Northwest where there are a lot more, there's more kind of food and medicine tree diversity, and they've realized that this is still standing from times when Native people were kind of actively involved and in a different way of, it's like agroforestry, but not monoculture. So they found sections of wood that were full of highly desirable plants for people, which is really interesting, still standing probably hundreds of years after the area was originally managed, which is amazing. And I'd love to hear what you think about that. But I have a lot of questions about, really, it's a comment. Right now, foraging and wildcrafting is it's almost become obsessive during COVID era, and it's become a really hot topic. I was actually arguing about it online as your program came up, because we are getting so much, we're having so much trouble with it not really being managed and how people are treating our public lands. And we're seeing, you know, massive taking of ramps right now, which we're all familiar with, but a lot of other plants. And just wanting to suggest maybe trying to encourage people to shift to using invasive species that we do need to take out of those places, rather than taking plants that if everyone takes their 10%, we move to 100% of taking really rapidly. So it's a super controversial topic right now, and I'm loving to hear what you have to say about it.
All right. Elizabeth, thanks so much. Heather, do you want to start?
Sure. You know, in one aspect, I really appreciate the caller's comments and thinking about some of the other values to forests that don't always come to mind, and just recognizing, and her point in the Northwest part of the United States, and just recognizing that here in Wisconsin, we do have indigenous people that have been living and enjoying and reaping the benefits and managing our forests for generations and generations. And so recognizing the values that the forest can give us is really an important piece of the education. And she is spot on that the pandemic has shown an uptick of folks wanting to get out and being amongst nature, flocking to many of our great properties, public properties and recreational areas that we have here in the state, which is great, because we want people to recreate and enjoy all those benefits, but also just making sure that we do take the time to educate ourselves and that we don't end up abusing the natural resources that we do so love.
Oh, thank you, Elizabeth, for calling. Let's take a call from Paul in Hayward. Hi, Paul.
Hi. I'm just wondering, for the 75 million trees, where will they be planted, and where are the trees going to come from? I'm actually on my way to the Hayward Nursery right now to pick up 1,000 trees to plant. So I'm curious how this is all going to come to pass.
Paul, thank you. Jeremiah, do you want to kick in here?
I can help a little. I want to just make sure that I appreciate him going to get those trees out of Hayward, because this is a great day to plant, by the way. So good luck today, Paul. Thank you for that. We put those together probably a week or so ago, so good. As far as where the trees come from, you know, that is a really good question, because this year the nursery will send out close to just over 4.7 million trees. So if you think about that, it's quite a few. It's a little less than 75 million, but like Heather suggested earlier, that doesn't just include just seedlings that are going out in the spring of the year. That includes urban trees, that kind of thing. So as far as where the seedlings come from, the nursery program within the reforestation part of the Division of Forestry will certainly do our part. There are many other nurseries out there, private nurseries, that do a great job. We like to partner with them as much as we can. And, of course, every time somebody plants a tree on a boulevard, our urban folks are super involved with that. That would all count towards that. So anything that's going in, you know, downtown Superior or Waukesha, that would all play a role as well. So I think it is a lofty goal, but I think it's attainable, and I think we can do that. It is very exciting to hear about 75 million trees. It's a lot. Holy mackerel.
Well, holy mackerel, Wisconsin Public Radio listeners can kind of help in the whole process of getting trees planted. We have, you know, we're in our spring member drive right now, and that's, Paul asked the perfect question. I thought, he's bringing me right into a topic that's kind of near and dear to my heart at the moment, which is planting trees. And Wisconsin Public Radio will pass a portion of your donation during this spring member drive to the Wisconsin DNR's Forest for the Future Fund for the purpose of planting trees. So if you contribute $10 a month or $120 one time, you can have a tree planted kind of in your name, or at least in Wisconsin Public Radio name. I think it's a great idea. Is that, Heather, what do you think?
Oh, yes. Anytime we can plant a tree. And, you know, we're talking large scale here from the Trillion Tree effort, but that excitement of just even planting a tree in your backyard is just super important. And you know, watching that tree grow and maintaining the health of that tree for generations, that's really the ultimate goal we're trying to achieve.
Well, as you listen today, I hope you'll jump on the bandwagon. In fact, do it right now. It's easy to do. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution to support programs like this one, and also to support the planting of trees here in Wisconsin. Tell you what, we're hoping to get thousands of trees planted based on the contributions we get from people just like you. So we've got a goal here of 20 contributions during this hour, you know, and you just kind of do it one tree at a time. I've planted a lot of trees in my day as well, and it's done one at a time. And that's why you can be that one person to start right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, and you can say, hey, I helped in a planting tree in Wisconsin. Any gift of $120, that could be $10 a month, or you just put in a check for $120. I'm going to put in a check for $120 and sort of add to my own contribution this time around, because I want to have at least one tree growing up that I helped put in the ground. And so these trees, by the way, they'll be planted all over the place, won't they, Jeremiah?
Oh, yeah. All over the state. We have trees that get planted in Kenosha to Superior, from Florence down to Cassville, literally everywhere.
All right. Well, there you go. So if you haven't contributed yet, hey, how about getting involved in this tree effort? Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Do it right now. You're going to feel good about it. I know I'm going to feel good about it. So will Heather and Jeremiah. Do it right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Make your contribution. I'm Larry Mueller, and I always get lots of help here on the show, of course. Jill Nadeau's our producer, Christina Myshock, our engineer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network. We're giving you a little forestry update, or a tree update, for the state of Wisconsin today with a couple of great guests. Heather Berkland is chief forester for the Wisconsin DNR. Jeremiah Auer is the forest regeneration specialist for the Wisconsin DNR. And it's great to have them on to talk about our forestry program. Certainly, if you have questions, I hope you'll join in. We do have callers online. Let's take another call. Mike in La Crosse, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hi. What I'm calling about is I'd like you to recommend native, hardy, non-invasive trees that are safe or won't be harmful to your driveway or your sidewalks. And I'm concerned, like I made the mistake of planting autumn blaze maples and Bradford pears, and I need to plant some trees, and I don't want to make those kind of mistakes again.
Okay. Well, who wants to start with that? Heather, do you want to start?
I'm actually going to pass it to Jeremiah, but
all right.
If we're talking about down in the southwestern part of the state, it's a little more, not quite as cold as it can be up in the northern part. So as far as planting, there's a lot of great stuff out there. I don't know a lot about the urban, different varieties, but I would tell you that the natives, hackberry is fantastic. Birds love it. It does get it's one of those lowland species, but it can grow in uplands as well. So I would not have any trouble with a hackberry. It can get a little, like the silver maple, Sometimes if you have to put it in by a sidewalk, it could do a little lifting there, so you might have to be careful with that. Another thing that comes to mind, I love conifers, so I'm a big conifer guy. Heather and I were just talking. We both really like hemlock, beautiful tree, and it's just a neat tree to have in the landscape. So it might be something, too, if it's a little too sandy, maybe not the best, but those would be good ideas, I guess, to start.
Yeah, good ideas to start with. Thanks, Mike, for calling. Appreciate your call. Let's take another call. Gene in Knapp, Wisconsin. Your turn. Hi, Gene.
Hi. Well, thanks for taking my call. In western Wisconsin, we've been having a lot of trouble marketing our timber, especially the pulpwood. There's many of the pulping facilities have been shutting down, consolidating and going and not taking wood. What do you see in the future for that? So we've had trees that basically they cut down and then they either let rot or burn.
Yeah, that's too bad. Heather, comment?
Yeah, this has been a very important conversation that we have been having with a lot of our industry partners across the state and the Great Lakes region. We've been lucky in Wisconsin for decades to have a very robust forest industry. And, currently it is a huge contribution to the economy in Wisconsin at $24.4 billion annually. So we recognize that forest industry and maintaining a healthy, robust industry in Wisconsin is going to be critical for the health of our forests long term. And so just yesterday, I was on a Great Lakes Forest Timber Professionals Association meeting, and these are the conversations that we are having regarding mill closures, idling, being able to sell products and move products through the supply chain. And so we continue to monitor this, continue to have discussions, continue to find ways that we will be able to have success in the future, but it is a concern, and it's very much on the forefront.
Thank you, Gene, very much for calling. And let's take another call. Link in Blanchardville, your turn. Hi, Link.
Oh, okay. It's Lyric. Hi. They're cutting a lot of oak trees down still along 191 between Hollandale and Dodgeville, and I thought there was a season for cutting down oak trees so they didn't pass the disease along. And the other thing I noticed is they're eliminating all the fence rows. They're pulling up all their fence rows between big pasture areas and burning all those trees. So my question is, which trees are valuable for fence rows and what purpose do they help out with besides feeding pollinators and birds and slowing the wind down? And which trees would you recommend for fence rows?
Well, I'll comment first on the cutting piece. Yes, we do have concerns about oak wilt in the state of Wisconsin, and it continues to spread. So we do have on our forest health site on the forest wisconsindnr.gov, type in forestry, and our forest health section has a lot of great publications on diseases, pests, and how to manage. And so we try and work with our partners and our private landowners on kind of restricting times of year for cutting oak to help prevent the spread. We don't always control, depending on the land ownership, if and when that occurs. But it is something that we definitely continue to try and educate our partners to limit the spread. And then I'll hand it to Jeremiah regarding any suggestions on trees to plant in those fence rows.
Sure. Yeah, thank you, Heather. Fence rows, windbreaks, shelter belts, however you want to refer to them. We actually have a publication, Wisconsin DNR worked with I think some of our U.S. Forest Service partners and some of the UW Extension folks. And yeah, there's a mix. Depends on how big of an area you have as far as the windbreak or shelter belt you want to put in. But a mix of shrubs, hardwoods, conifers, and patience, to be honest. So once you establish them, we got to kind of wait and let those develop. But, if you ever go to the Wisconsin DNR's website, go to the reforestation program portion of that. We've got a lot of great suggestions there. A lot of great shrubs, a lot of great hardwoods, a lot of great conifers that could fill both the role of a windbreak and, like you mentioned, pollinators. That's a big deal right now, and there's plenty of shrubs out there, native shrubs, that will help the bees and the butterflies.
All right. Lyric, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. I want to take another call here. Sandy in Williams Bay, your turn. Hi, Sandy.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah. What's on your mind?
Well, I was just listening to your show, and we have a 9.5 acres here of old growth oak forest in Savannah that is scheduled to be, it's never been touched. So it's been in a state of conservation. It was Potawatomi Indian land 125 years ago, and they're trying to develop it for low density. It also has a ephemeral stream down it, and that feeds into Lake Geneva, which is the second largest stream-fed lake in Wisconsin. And do you know, we've had a really hard time trying to find people to help us protect and preserve this oak forest, and also a lot of conversation about the difference between conservation practice and forest management, because it's never, ever been touched. So there's a lot of, you know, some people say it doesn't look pretty, but...
it's pretty cool. Let's put it that way, Sandy. Well, Heather, what do you think?
I'm a little unclear on who actually owns this piece of land, but I can tell you that, if it's in public ownership, obviously we are driven by what we call master plans, and we property plans that are try to cater to any unique characteristics, long-term land objectives, and we try to incorporate kind of the purpose of the property, and in some cases it could be preservation. We also have, our Wisconsin best management practices for water quality to continue to protect our waterways throughout Wisconsin. So even when doing active management, we have these in place. And I think sometimes as well, though, forests, although they can live to be, trees can live a long, long time. There is a end state, and some of them do need to be managed in order to regenerate. And so just ensuring that the practices in place, meet the land objectives and continue to also offer, environmentally sustainable practices as well.
All right. Thank you very much for that call. You talked about policy, and we have a little policy here at Wisconsin Public Radio, too. Every once in a while, we come around and ask for listener support for the programs that we offer. And that's what we're doing during our spring member drive. And we're trying to keep it to a minimum during this show. But we also have some goals that we'd like to meet. We have a goal of 20 this time. All you need to do is go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. And if you can contribute at least $10 a month or $120 one time at least, the DNR will pass a portion of your donation on to the Wisconsin DNR Forest for the Future Fund for the purpose of planting a tree. And we can guarantee that a tree will be planted for each of those contributions. And it was kind of something exciting for us. It's a chance for us to work, help get some trees planted here in the state, a chance to do a cooperative effort with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. And you can participate. I hope you will. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Every Wednesday, we try to look at the outdoors and the environment on this particular show. And Heather, we've over the years used a lot of DNR experts, and that's been part of a great partnership, I think.
Yes, I would agree. And the Department of Natural Resources, we have a great workforce, a variety and diverse staff that are focusing on everything from public health and safety with our wardens to park staff, to wildlife biologists, to invasive species specialists, to our customer service staff and fisheries, to our forestry and fire control staff. So love that you continue to partner with us and give us opportunities to come on your show and highlight all the great efforts that we're doing here in the state of Wisconsin.
Well, I tell you what, it's a pleasure for us to have. And as you mentioned, all those areas, I thought, you know what, we have people on from every one of those areas for the DNR and do so on a regular basis. So it's a great partnership, and here's a partnership for you to be involved in. If you haven't contributed yet, maybe you haven't been a partner in that sense with Wisconsin Public Radio, I hope you'll do it right now. This would be the perfect time to do it. We're not spending a lot of time asking for your dollars and your contributions during this particular show today, so I hope you'll help us out and show us that we can do it this way. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make your contribution. Again, go right now, WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Only takes like 2 minutes, I think. I've actually done it on the phone just to try it out. I think it's like 2 minutes is all it took. 888-202-2552. That's the phone way. Or just go online to WPR.org and make your contribution. Well, you know what? We have a lot of callers online. Ron in Madison has something for us, so let's go there. Ron, hi. Thank you for calling.
Thanks. The tallest tree I transplanted this month was a hackberry. About 40 years ago, I put one in Dad's front yard, and it has surface roots within 6 feet of the trunk, and over the decades, lawnmowers have killed the top of those roots. The good news is the next farm over, my brother's hackberry tree has no surface roots. He probably has less chert rocks in his topsoil. And that one's got to be over 100 years old, just judging from how it's 2.5 feet wide. A trillion trees and about 8 billion humans means each of us must plant 130 trees fast. In Wisconsin, we only have to plant 15 to get to the 75 million. I've only planted about 10 so far this month, and they're tiny. Obviously, if we can transplant 6 to 16 foot tall trees, they have a huge head start on the 6-inch pine I planted yesterday. So can we buy up all the left behind shade trees that the various nurseries, have that are, 8 and 10 and 12 feet tall around the Midwest? Thanks.
All right. Heather?
First off, thank you for your contributions to tree planting. It sounds like you're very much engaged and you appreciate the benefits of the trees. I love that idea, working with private nurseries, working with our partners in finding ways that we can collaborate to meet this effort, and continuing just to have people understand what their part can be. And it can be as simple as finding that tree to transplant, or finding a new seedling to plant. So thank you again for your efforts.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I guess that's part of our effort today with the contributions. I'll just mention it again quickly. If you make a contribution today of $120, or if you go $10 a month, we'll get one of those trees. You'll only have 14 trees to go before getting your 15 in for this program. Oh man, go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution now. That's WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, and you're helping to get those trees planted here in the state, because we'll be sending a portion of your donation to the Wisconsin DNR for the Forests of the Future Fund. So we're looking forward to seeing how many we can get out there. Ben in West Salem, your turn. Hi, Ben.
Hey, Larry. Thanks for taking my call, and thank you to your guests for being on. I was listening to your show, and I just wanted to interject quick beyond my question. I spent the late 80s and 90s out at Camp Decorah in La Crosse area at the Boy Scouts. We planted trees, and I just want to say it's awesome to see now, you know, 20 or 30 years later that they're grown, they're tall, they're beautiful, all those trees that I planted summer after summer as a Boy Scout, and they're sucking up all that carbon. People should know that it takes a moment for the trees to be able to start feeding on the carbon, because for what is it, the first 4 or 5 years, they're actually putting out carbon while they're young. But it's good to see those healthy trees now. My question is, I just had a nephew born, and we are going to be I'm thinking about planting I believe it's black walnut grove for him to harvest later, but they will be growing for 30 years and we'll be maintaining them. I'm curious as to where I could go to get those starters, and do I need to do soil samples before I put them down, being that it's a clay sandy area out by Highway 21 in the middle of Toma and Nisida, with a lot of water. So that would be my question, and keep planting trees, guys.
All right, there we go. Well, let's see, Jeremiah, you want to take a crack at that?
Sure. I know where you could get 300 black walnut today if you really wanted to. So just contact the Griffith State Nursery, and we would be able to help you out. I promise you that. But as far as, you know, I wanted to just comment on something that he mentioned as far as planting those seedlings. And it does. It takes a moment to put a seedling in the ground. Anybody can do that as a, you know, children, older folks. We had a forester one time, his name was Bob Mather, a really neat guy. Heather remembers him probably. And he made a comment, you know, that sweat equity, as people do something to their land, it really sticks with them. And obviously this fellow, just planting those little trees how many years ago really stuck with him. And those trees will be there for a long time. And you can go back and look at that. And the same thing with landowners on their property, this walnut grove, you put that in, man, that'll be there a long time. And the little young fellow that was just born, he'll be able to see that, and it'll be important. So really neat to hear that story for me.
Yeah, I love that story. I was thinking about some of my own stories. I can remember in FFA planting, every year we'd put in 500. I would plant 500 trees, and my buddy Dick Rodefeld would he'd plant another 500 trees, and we'd put them in on their farm. And you know what? I can see those trees. I'm telling you, that was a long time ago when I was a junior and senior in high school, and it's really, really something to be able to see those trees. It's really cool. Well, Jeff in Medford, what's on your mind?
Hi, Larry and Gus. I have an idea about how to get a start on achieving the 75 million tree goal. Don't cut any more down for mining exploration activity like the DNR allowed last year at the headwaters of the Wolf River, where there was 150 acres of hardwoods cut down to make it easier for the drilling equipment. Now the DNR just approved a permit for exploration in the middle of Shequamicon National Forest near Medford. Will the DNR step up and not allow another massive clear cutting for mining exploration?
Wow, I don't know if we can go that far or not, but Heather, I bet you can come up with a response.
Yeah, we understand, you know, the mining piece and private sector exploration permits needed, and we understand that it is, you know, controversial, but we also recognize, you know, some of the laws that we have in place that we need to adhere to. So, you know, having those conversations, recognizing where this is occurring and making sure that it's following permitting and guidance will continue to be our discussion.
Yeah. Our guest today, Heather Berkland, Chief Forester for the DNR, Jeremiah our forest regeneration specialist for the DNR. Questions for them? We're talking about Wisconsin's forest land. We can talk urban forest. We can talk about the non-urban forests as well with them, and you can join in too at 800-642-1234 or email us to ideas@wpr.org. And a quick reminder, we're in our spring member drive. We have a goal of 20 gifts this hour. We already have 7 in, so we still have 13 to go. And it's a chance to support the programs that we do here during 11 to 12:30, especially on Wednesdays when we talk about environmental, outdoor and environmental concerns. So it's a good time to put a vote in for that as well. And the Plant a Tree program, a $10 a month contribution or $120 one-time contribution, WPR will pass a portion of your donation on to the Wisconsin DNR Forest for the Future Fund for the purpose of planting a tree. So you can salve your conscience. If you haven't had one, haven't planted one yourself in a while, this is a way to get that done without having to do much, except just make a contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio during our spring member drive. So go to WPR.org right now, WPR.org, or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Giving you a Wisconsin forestry update on the show today. Larry Mueller here with my two guests, Heather Berkland, Chief Forester for the DNR, and Jeremiah Auer, who is Forest Regeneration Specialist for the DNR. So, questions for them. Have you participated in any reforestation efforts? We've heard a little of that today so far on the show. How important are trees to your life? What questions do you have about the Division of Forestry with the DNR? Give a call, 800-642-1234, or email us to ideas@wpr.org. Lots of emails, and we'll get to them, but let's go first to Mike in Menominee, Michigan. Mike, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Hi, how are you doing?
Good. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm actually a forester by education. I went to Stevens Point, and I own 40 acres in Marathon County. And I recently got a letter from an investment organization offering to pay me what they call fair prices for my land. And I'm not at all interested in selling, but I'm sure other folks have gotten similar letters. They use the county land records. And I just want to let folks know that they should really get a second opinion on that before jumping on any kind of offer. Talk to a forester, talk to a licensed appraiser, because you might not necessarily know what you've got, and you don't know what these companies are looking to do with the land once they get it.
Good tip. Heather, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that that opportunity to inform our listeners. Unfortunately, you know, solicitation on all forms as part of our culture and society, and that is one I know many landowners get throughout the years, and appreciate that you recognize to reach out to a professional. And I'll just put in the plug that on our website, we do have a forestry assistant locator where you can type in your county, and it'll take you to our local staff contact, forestry staff that can help answer your questions you may have regarding your forested land. But also it connects you to the private consultants that work in forestry as well for that county.
So a DNR forester or a forestry consultant should, you know, if you're before you're going to sell anything for sure, or maybe just to know more about your land and the forest that you have, Heather, you can get somebody out to take a look, right?
Yes, yes. And we encourage that. That's an important piece of the work we do, is that education and outreach and partnering, with, like I said, with our cooperating foresters, our consultant foresters throughout the state, as well as our partner agencies. And just you know, like we know, over about 60% of the wood forested land in Wisconsin is owned by private landowners. So just taking that time to educate yourself, we are here to offer up that expertise and advice. You can also go to mywisconsinwoods.com, and that's another opportunity to connect with a natural resource professional, kind of in that same realm. And, you know, we're really focused on what it is, your objectives for the land and what it is that you would like to see, because we recognize that many private landowners have lots of different goals for their property and what they really appreciate about the land that they own.
Good points. Mike, thank you again. Cindy in Appleton, we'll go to you. Hi, Cindy.
Hello. Well, first of all, I want to give Governor Evers kudos for wanting to plant 75 million trees throughout the state of Wisconsin. I think that's a marvelous idea. And I, as a city homeowner, have planted multiple trees in my yard since I moved in 12 years ago to rewild my yard. And I have all kinds of birds, bluebirds, cardinals, all kinds of different species coming in. And it's just been wonderful.
Well, thank you very much, Cindy. This is the kind of thing that warms your heart a little bit, doesn't it? Jeremiah?
Yeah, I do. That's terrific. Yeah. It's amazing how many trees and shrubs you can actually fit into a small area.
Well, and the benefits you reap in terms of nature and wildlife are absolutely essential. You know, how did the reforestation program start anyway? Jeremiah, are you a historian? Can you give us a little history of that?
Ironically, I am the historian. It's just one of the hats that I wear. So in Trout Lake, if anybody knows where that is, way up north, in 1911, that was where they started the first nursery. And they produced seedlings up there. And at that time, it was just white pine and red pine. They just started out with, 10,000, 20,000, something like that. That grew. There were a number of nurseries that were established across the state then. At one time, we were operating 7 nurseries across the state. At this point, we're down to 3 with only 1 production nursery down in Boscobel. But they're all very active properties, and there's all sorts of fun things going on there. I'm stationed at the Griffith Nursery in Wisconsin Rapids. I really like it there. That started in 1932. The nurseries have been going for quite some time, producing a lot of seedlings.
Yeah, a lot of seedlings. And, you know, you think about the economic impact, Heather, of the forest industry. It's pretty large, isn't it?
Yes, it is indeed. Like I said, we're number 2 to the ag industry here in Wisconsin at $24.4 billion annually. And it is the number 1 employer in 7 counties and recognizing over 1,200 forest products companies here in Wisconsin. And so... really important for our the health of our economy here in the state.
Tim in Sturgeon Bay will give you a chance. Hi, Tim.
Hey, good morning. I've got 80 acres in Door County, Wisconsin, and about 28 acres with original ash, cedars, and miscellaneous scrubby brush and trees in there. And then the rest of the land I put back into trees through the DNR, about 10,000 trees starting in like 94. And like a lot of other landowners up here, I've got thousands of ash trees that are dying off. And forgive me if you touched on this subject, but I'm wondering if there's any kind of program to advise and manage the removal of those and what to replace them with and how you should go about doing that. How big of a stump should you leave? Should you cut it flush to the ground? I mean, they're just dying like crazy. There's thousands of trees coming up as runners into the field too, ash trees that ultimately are going to succumb to the ash borer. I wonder if you could touch base on that or what your thoughts are on that.
Sure thing. I'm sure that one or both of our guests can comment on it. Heather, do you want to start or do you want to pass it off to Jeremiah?
Well, I could just start in reiterating that, yes, the emerald ash borer has unfortunately been a huge detrimental cause of our ash mortality here and continues to spread. And again, I would just put in the plug for our forest health program. And we have forest health specialists across the state that they can also help in kind of providing information on how to manage, mitigate, and adapt due to the ash borer, as well as your local forester, in addition, could help in kind of identifying what species might do well kind of to replace the ash, the dead ash.
And you said species, which in plural, which I like the idea of that for sure. Jeremiah, I'm sure you're on board with that too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was good points, Heather. I mean, just talking to the local forester, there are opportunities. I mean, it is depressing. I mean, you have these beautiful trees that you've planted, and now you're seeing them die. And yeah, that's very frustrating. And I, you know, I've had the same thing happen to me as well. Not quite at that scale, but yeah, it's very frustrating. But there's an opportunity there too, and we can figure out ways to work with the property, to work with the landowner. Our foresters are great at that, and if they ever have any questions, of course, they can always contact us in reforestation as well, and we'll help.
So should Tim be getting in contact with the DNR forester up in the Sturgeon Bay area?
It's a good starting point. Mm-hmm. Because not only will they be able to focus in on that specific area, having that local knowledge, but also could, educate or find potential opportunities. I think he mentioned potential funding. There are some grant programs out there through the state and through NRCS that can help with some efforts such as this. And so just having that expertise on the property to discuss these issues is valuable.
Yeah. And speaking of expertise, I think we have some very experienced people here, guests on the show today, Heather Birkeland, Chief Forester for the DNR, and Jeremiah Auer, Forest Regeneration Specialist for the DNR. And I think it's an example. The show is kind of an example of the kinds of programs that we do here during this particular show. But I mean, all frankly, most of the day here on the Ideas Network, we day in and day out, hour in and hour out, we have a number of guest experts to come on and help you, inform you, also provide advice. And it's the kind of information that I hope you're willing to support. Here we are during our spring member drive. We've got a goal of 20 this hour, and we're halfway there right now. And I hope you'll bring us over the top here as we get to the top of the hour, because we are running a little out of time. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And you know what? You're going to let the impact of your donation then go beyond these WPR programs that I think you love. You can choose to plant a tree as your thank you gift when you give $10 a month or at least $120 one time to our spring member drive. How do you do that? Well, you go to WPR.org. Or you phone 888-202-2552, 888-202-2552. I'm betting you listen to WPR every day or listen pretty often, and you rely on the show and all the programs for news, for information, for music, for interesting conversations like we're having today, maybe for a little inspiration. I hope a few of you have been inspired, and I know some of you have been inspired to call in with a contribution or to go online and make your contribution. Your gift today, and I've been saying $10 a month or $120. Well, I don't care. Any amount, frankly. It doesn't have to be $120. It could be more than that, for certain, and many contributions are more than that. But whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount. How do you do it? Well, you spend about 2 minutes of your time. You call at 888-202-2552 and make your contribution, or you can go to WPR.org. That's WPR.org, and make your contribution that way. Every Wednesday of the month on this particular show, we tend to deal with environment and outdoors. In fact, we always do. That's a sort of a prime directive, I guess we could say, for our team, the Larry Mueller Show team. And it's something that we love to do. And, of course, we highlight other topics the rest of the week. Our goal is always to inform you, to educate you, to give you some ideas to make your life better, to offer some tips. And today, we've got that little extra incentive. If you can donate $10 a month or $120 one time or more, we'll pass a portion of your donation on to the Wisconsin DNR Forest for the Future Fund. And we'll talk some more about that fund. Heather and Jeremiah, they're not leaving us. They're going to stick around until 12:30 or so. But in the meantime, what a perfect time to go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make your gift. Do it right now. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Well, as President Biden approaches his 100th day in office, he plans to address a joint session of Congress tonight. As a matter of fact, at 8 o'clock, you can hear live NPR coverage of President Biden's address, plus the Republican response from South Carolina Senator Tim Scott. You can hear those here on the Ideas Network. That's tonight at 8 o'clock on Wisconsin Public Radio and, of course, at WPR.org. For now, I'm glad you're here because we're talking about Wisconsin forests with our guest from the Wisconsin DNR Division of Forestry, Chief Forester Heather Berkland, and Forest Regeneration Specialist Jeremiah Auer. So what questions do you have for them? Love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us to ideas@wpr.org. We've had quite a few calls relating to garden landscape kinds of things. And Laura Jell is going to be on Garden Talk on Friday, so she'll take care of those kinds of questions. In the meantime, we're going to talk trees with our guests. And again, you can join us 800-642-1234 or email to ideas@wpr.org. And let's take a few emails. Chuck emailed. He has a 6-acre urban forest, one home currently, 4 sites total. He would like to manage this plot with a focus on creating the best environment for wildlife and natural plants. How would he proceed, or where should he go? He says, I have talked to the DNR forester, but I feel this perspective was focused on timber value, not my desire for wildlife diversity. So let's see, what have we got? Jeremiah, do you want to start?
Sure, I can help out a little bit. So, I love the idea of wanting to manage in the urban environment or suburban environment because it's obvious, trees are growing there too. And the more natives that we can get going, the more we can get the wildlife fed and sheltered and all that kind of stuff. I mean, obviously this individual is very interested in that, whether it's little Tweety birds or the little critters, deer, whatever. Yeah, there's all sorts of neat things that you can do. And, you know, the forester that he talked to, maybe the suggestions there didn't quite fit in with his goals, but I imagine there was probably some information he could have gleaned out of that would help. I love the idea trying to get stuff in there. There's all sorts of shrubs you can put in, all sorts of trees. Take a look at the landscape, see what's there, what's not there. There's a lot of information on DNR's website, other websites. There's a lot of stuff out there. Give us a call. Call us at Reforestation. We'll help out. We'll do what we can.
A fair number of publications, if I'm not mistaken, on managing your land. Isn't there, Heather? for?
Yeah, you know, and in this particular case, I'm almost thinking maybe a UW Extension specialist may be more appropriate kind of in that urban setting. And I know a lot of local communities and cities have urban foresters, arborists, that also can cater to more of the localized sites and species that would do well. But yeah, I would definitely start with UW Extension. And it sounds like, go ahead.
I was just going to say there's a publication called Landscape Plants, Plantings That Attract Birds and Wildlife as one place. And you can go online to UW Extension's UW Extension, the website. And if you actually type that in, you're probably going to get the information right up. So that's one good place to start. Were you going to add something else? I'm sorry, I kind of broke in on you there.
Nope.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Let's, a listener emailed to ask if there's a program for that preserves trees. They have two splendid, for example, old oaks. How can they assure their continued life? Is there a tree registry, like the Registry of Historic Places?
Wow, that's a good question, and I don't have an answer for specific trees. I know of our Champion Tree program that there is to register what you believe may be the largest trees out there. And I know we have programs for preserving woodland through conservation easements, but individual trees, I'm not familiar with that.
Becky emailed to ask for suggestions for trees to plant along the creek on her property. She'd like to plant something that will hold the soil along the banks. There's been significant flooding, you know, there since 2008. There are presently no trees at all. So I guess trees that will hold the soil in place, but will also not mind getting wet feet once in a while, Jeremiah.
Yeah, you know, it would be really important to find out what kind of soil is there, where she's located in the state. That would be something that, you know, would be important as far as, like, recommendations. But as far as something that would work to hold soil, I really do like to push shrubs in that environment, because shrubs tend to have a denser or fibrous root system. It'd probably be a good idea to look into something like a red osier dogwood, nine barks. If it's really sandy, maybe we could get into a couple other, depends. Maybe hazelnut might be an option depending on where things are. And then, you know, as far as talking about trees, looking into those, that would be more of in that wet type environment. Silver maple, red maple, hackberry is a good idea, especially in the south. You know, when we get into conifers, white pine can handle that type of thing. If it's really wet, the tamaracks, the cedars of the world, white cedar especially, those would all be good options. I'm just trying to think if there's anything else that I'm missing. But as far as swamp white oak would be very good.
Swamp white oak was one that I had in my mind, actually.
Yep. Yeah, that would be really good, especially in the southern part of the state. Once you get further north, maybe not as much. But definitely in the southern part of the state, swamp white would be good. And, of course, it provides a good mast for critters out there, too. There's a few others probably that just aren't coming to mind right now. But I think that'd be a good start.
I love those swamp white oaks. Heather, are you a fan? I love those. They're beautiful trees.
They are.
Well, John in Mount Horeb will give you a chance. Hi, John.
Hi, Larry. 10 acres in Dane County of woods. And I was wondering if you could tell me anything about getting part of it rezoned to forest production. I'd like to collect like walnuts and hickory nuts and maybe even saw up some of the lumber from the woods. If you had any ideas on where I could go for that.
Okay, so 10 acres in Dane County, and you want it rezoned, you said?
Yeah, I'd like to rezone at least part of it. About 2 acres are my house and workshop, and the rest is all just native forest.
Yeah.
So about 8 acres.
Okay, Heather? Yeah.
Yeah, our division we don't handle, you know, the zoning laws. And so it would have to really be your local zoning ordinances and having those conversations at a local level.
So whoever's the well, Mount Horeb, Johnson, Mount Horeb. So the local people there would, in terms of zoning, is where you have to go for that, John. So there you go. And Liz in Wausau emailed, to encourage folks to plant a variety of trees. It helps provide food for wildlife, buffers against disease that can wipe out, you know, on a monoculture stand. And that's kind of been the problem in urban areas over time, where we had monocultures almost, elm trees at one point and ash kind of now. And we're definitely, I think the whole emphasis on planting, Jeremiah, is to get a variety of species in a particular planting.
Yeah, and I love the idea of folks putting a bunch of different stuff in. You know, in some areas, it's just the microclimate, just the tendencies of the area. Some things do really well, and some things just don't. In my little part of the world, I can plant white pine, and they grow fantastic. But I have a lot of problem with ribes and blister rust. So you know, that just happens to be where I am, and it sounds like this person too. Yeah, plant a diversity. We'll find out what works, what doesn't, and then we can always keep going from there.
You know, we have a diversity of programs here on the Ideas Network. Even on Wednesdays, our Wednesday programs, when we talk about environment and outdoors, certainly a host of experts, and many of them from the Department of Natural Resources, but a broad range of topics that we cover that all relate to the environment and the outdoors. And if you're enjoying that this kind of programming, I hope you'll contribute during our spring member drive. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, 888-202-2552, and make your contribution in support of this program and all of the programs that you enjoy on Wisconsin Public Radio. And just remember, your donation to WPR is going to help preserve our Wisconsin forests. You can ask for the Plant a Tree thank you gift when you give $10 a month or $120 one time or even or more. WPR is going to pass on a portion of your donation to the Wisconsin DNR Forest for the Future Fund for the purpose of planting a tree. And trees are going to be planted throughout Wisconsin, including state forests, the parks, and the wildlife areas. So you can support the programs you love, and you can help preserve Wisconsin's forest when you ask for a Plant a Tree thank you gift. How do you do that? Well, just go online to WPR.org. It's WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Our current break, we have goal of 15. We've got 4 gifts in now, so we got 11 to go. So help us out right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And with the right contribution, you're going to know that, hey, I helped with some tree planting here in the state of Wisconsin. Oh, boy. Sylvia in Appleton will give you a chance. Hi, Sylvia.
Hi. I'd like to know what the plans are for White River Marsh now that it has practically been clear cut in huge sections.
All right. I don't know if we can, if we've got an answer for that right off the top of our heads here or not.
I would just say, yeah, I don't have an answer for that specific property. And just to, I think I mentioned before that all of our properties that are under, you know, our state lands management, whether it's a state forest, a natural area, a park, do have master plans or property plans. And I'm not sure if this specific one, what that entails, but it may require some sort of harvesting activity depending on what their objectives are for the property. So, you know, contacting a local DNR staff that can help more specifically with this property is what I would recommend. But I also just want to reiterate that, you know, various trees require various mechanisms to potentially regenerate. And like our aspen timber product, or our aspen trees, which are really important for wildlife here and Young Forest Initiative, you know, they require, they're young species and they require to be harvested completely. And then they'll resprout. And so depending on the species that we have on the landscape, you know, it is a renewable resource. They do require maintenance and management and to ensure that we continue to have forest and trees across our landscape.
There you go. Thank you, Sylvia, for calling. Appreciate it. Christine in Chippewa Falls, your turn. Hi, Christine.
Hi, thanks a lot. So our 80 acres is in managed forest in Dunn County on the Chippewa River. Our lower floodplain is full of beautiful hackberry, silver maple, and ash trees. And we would like to know where we could purchase swamp oak seedlings, maybe in quantities of 25, 50 or more. Thanks a lot.
All right. Where can we get those, Jeremiah?
Oh, boy, do I have a deal for you today. Yeah, so the nursery program, we have plenty of swamp white oak available. And if you would just contact the nursery, believe me, I think we can help you out. For us at minimum,
so how did,
Larry.
Well, I was just going to say, how does she contact the nursery? Where do we go to do that?
Yeah, maybe I should do that. You just call our Griffith State Nursery. Our office associate there, Carrie, would be happy to help. Her number is 715-424-3700. She's well versed in all things tree ordering, and she would be able to help.
So it's 715-424-3700.
Yep, that's our nursery number for all our state nurseries.
Is that, and is there an online? Could you go online too, or is it better to call?
You can go online. That would be right at this point. You can go online just for more information. But as far as the actual ordering process, because we are so late into April, she would need to call our office.
Oh, so because it's so late. Otherwise, you could go to the DNR website and get that information?
Yeah, we actually start offering trees available for sale the first Monday in October all the way through the end of May. But as we get towards the later part of the spring, that it gets a little more difficult for us to do that online. So, So that's why we
But just for general information, you know, to find out about trees, maybe somebody's, I want to go to the site anyway. Heather, what's the site?
Wisconsin.dnr.gov and click on the forestry tab. And that'll take you to all things within the Division of Forestry.
I got to tell you, that's a nice, nice website. That's a really good website. I go there pretty often. Johnny in Marquette County, your turn.
Yes. Yes, thank you. Listen, for the last decade or two, we've been losing our oak trees to something called oak wilt, I've heard it referred to. What is oak wilt? Is it a blight or a fungi or a bacteria? What is killing our oak trees?
Yeah, we could spend a lot of time
on
that.
What can we do about it?
Yeah, one thing is don't prune in certain times of the year. Only in the winter time would be my guess. But Heather, do you want to talk about it for a minute?
Yeah, I mean, we could get into the whole biological piece of oak wilt, and then you know, but I would really recommend just going to the Forest Health our website and click on Forest Health, and there is a slew of information about specifically what the vectors are for oak wilt, and then how to prevent it, and also how to hopefully eradicate it, but it is spreading across the state and something that we are very much trying to mitigate.
There you go. Thank you very much for calling. Yeah, the DNR website has a ton of information on oak wilt, and certainly worth taking a look at it. And you know what else is worth it for you to do is to make a contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio during our spring member drive. How do you do it? You go to WPR.org or you phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. You rely on the programs that we have here, I think, for news, for information. Certainly this program, we give a lot of advice. We have a lot of experts on to talk about a whole host of things. And especially on Wednesdays, we deal with the environment and the outdoors. And I hope Wisconsin Public Radio is important to your life. And we are listener supported. And that means that your gift helps make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. So if you haven't given yet, I hope you'll do it today. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, 888-202-2552, and make your contribution in support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Member drives are such an important time to hear from new members, as a matter of fact. I haven't even brought that up yet, but if you've never given before, wow, today would be the day for you to become a Wisconsin Public Radio member or a WPR member. First time folks often give somewhere in the $60 to $100. Maybe they give $5 a month. Maybe they give $10 a month as a starting point. And if you give, contribute $10 a month, we'll also have a tree planted in your honor. The money that goes, that you send in, a portion of it, a small portion of it, goes to the Wisconsin DNR Forest for the Future Fund. And it's our way to try and help the environment a little bit. And it's our way to recognize the importance of the work that the Wisconsin DNR and the Department, the Division of Forestry within the DNR do as well. And it's something that for our environment, it's great. And our governor now says we're going to plant 75 million trees. Someone called in, forget Ron maybe, and said, hey, that's 15 trees apiece for the state to hit the 75 million. Well, if you haven't planted one yet this year, here's your chance to get one of your trees going with a $120 contribution. And also, obviously, to support this program and all of the programs that you enjoy here on the state. And our guests, Heather Berkland and Jeremiah Auer, I want to thank them so much for being with us today. And thank all of the guests who contribute during our show. And to thank you for listening and to thank you for your contribution. So make that contribution right now. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make your contribution in support of WPR. And thank you for listening. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Donate right now.